Good everyone, a warm welcome to another edition of The Debate, coming your way from Press TV headquarters in Tehran. I'm your host, Behrouz Najafi. On the anniversary of Washington's unilateral withdrawal from the Iran nuclear deal and amid further U.S. pressure and saber-rattling, Tehran officially announced partial suspension of the deal. Tehran has remained committed to the deal since 2015 without benefiting from it much. However, the Iranian president has stressed the country is not abandoning it altogether. We'll put up the issue for the debate after watching this report.
A year ago, the U.S. president unilaterally withdrew Washington from the internationally recognized 2015 nuclear deal between Iran and the P5 plus one group of countries. Since then, Donald Trump has left no stone unturned to implement his policy of maximum pressure on Tehran. In line with his policy, Trump has not only imposed sanctions on Iran, but has even threatened multinational companies that do business with the Islamic Republic. On Wednesday, Iran sent letters to the remaining signatories to the deal, notifying that Tehran will roll back some of its commitments under the JCPOA. The letters have cited failure of the signatories to secure the Islamic Republic's interests, in particular in oil and banking sectors, in the face of Washington's pullout.
Whenever our enriched uranium reached 300 kilograms, we sold the excess and received yellow cake instead. As of today, this sale will stop. The second sale pertained to heavy water. Whenever our heavy water exceeded 130 tons, we sold the extra amount. As of today, we also stopped this sale.
Rouhani warned that Iran will enrich uranium at higher levels if its demands are not met in 2 months.
If we do not reach a conclusion after 60 days, we will take two more measures. Under the terms of the JCPOA, we agreed that we would keep enrichment to the level of 3.67%. We will stop adhering to this and there will no longer be a set level for enrichment. Secondly, in the agreement, the Iraq heavy water reactor was due to be rebuilt with the support of the JCPOA participants, and this process is still far from reaching its final stage. After 60 days, we will make a decision on whether we press ahead with our own plans for Iraq that we had already put in place before the JCPOA agreement was reached to complete its reconstruction.
Rouhani warned that the Islamic Republic will give, quote, a very firm response if the nuclear case is taken to the Security Council again, with some sources saying this could prompt Tehran to exit the NPT. Rouhani added that the Islamic Republic's measures do not mean that it intends to abandon the JCPOA. He said not only Iran, but Europe also must pay the price for preserving the nuclear deal for the green continent's own security. The Iranian president said, had it not been for Tehran's efforts, terrorists would be roaming freely in European capitals. He said Iran has spent billions of dollars to combat terrorism and prevent transfer of narcotics and influx of refugees to Europe, but U.S. sanctions have hampered these efforts. Rouhani's announcement drew widespread reactions. Russia and China blamed the U.S. for Iran's decision to scale back its JCPOA commitments. However, France said the option of sanctions could be brought back on the table if Iran does not stick to the deal. Britain said Tehran would face consequences if it breaks the agreement. Germany also warned Tehran not to take any aggressive steps. Iran has long argued that it will remain committed to the nuclear deal as long as the other remaining parties do so. Now the ball is in Europe's court to practically show whether it is determined to salvage the deal.
Now, with that report by Mehdi Faraman, let's start the debate tonight. Joining me will be Frederick Peterson, who's a senior U.S. Congressional Defense Advisor from Richmond, and Said Mohsen Abbas, journalist and political commentator, joining us out of London. Good to see you both, gentlemen. Let me go to Richmond first. Frederick, 1 year after the U.S. pullout of the deal, and also Iran waiting for 3 years and even more than that to see the deal implemented, wasn't it really about the right time for Iran to do something to decide the fate of the deal? I mean, how much longer should Iran have waited for a deal from which it hasn't benefited much?
Well, in my opinion, one benefit that has flown from this, and I hear a background talking over myself here. However, let me express that there lies still on the table an opportunity to collaborate, cooperate with the the members of the United Nations Security Council, with the United States, in fact, and with the people, for the benefit of the people of Iran and of the region. What has happened is there have been large looming questions about the sincerity of the implementation of this agreement within Iran, and it's the reason why the United States has withdrawn its support. And yet, I should say, what we are negotiating here, we have an opportunity. The United States is providing an opportunity in the leadership of this country now for a true new agreement that will represent a new collaboration of interests mm-hmm. in the region to truthfully keep mm-hmm. the possibility of development of nuclear weapons out of the region. And what we have is an opportunity mm-hmm. that would incentivize an agreement of that nature to the vast benefit and new alliances for the Iranian people, for their prosperity, uh-huh. for their peace, for regional progress, and with new partners. And those new partners would be the United States and the European countries that have expressed some reticence about the implementation of the agreement, in quotes, in the past, from which the United States has withdrawn. That opportunity is there. And I fear also, let me add, that we do not want, it is not in anyone's interest on one side of this, certainly the Iranian people, it is not in their interest to have the Iranian people manipulated by powers outside their borders that are using them in order to extend the diplomatic and the power politics of the region, and reaching for power mm-hmm. at the expense mm-hmm. of Iran, claiming to be allies, and that would be Russia.
Okay.
There's dealings with China. Now North Korea is getting involved in this. This is a very, very dangerous game. Uh-huh. And Iran can and should step back from this, find new partners mm-hmm. and a new agreement, a region, agree that a denuclearized region is in their best interests. For Iran okay. to have the possibility of pursuing nuclear power in the region will only incentivize its neighbors to do the same. This is in no one's
Frederick,
interest.
Frederick, that deal has been there, and it makes sure that Iran is not moving toward
new partners.
Okay, IAEA has confirmed 14 times Iran is not diverting to nuclear nukes, actually. Let me go to Said Mohsen Abbas in London. Said Mohsen, Frederick believes that the U.S. is giving Iran this opportunity, whereas many believe that the U.S. has already ruined that opportunity. The opportunity was already there, and Europeans are not reticent, really, and if they are, it's because of the U.S. sanctions and the punishment if they do anything, any trade with Iran. Let's have your comments on that.
Well, it's absolutely the case that the United States is basically trying to garner the subjugation and the total enslavement and the capitulation of the Islamic Republic of Iran to its imperialist will in the region. It's nothing to do with doing favors for Iran, far from it. What they're doing is committing economic terrorism. It's an excuse to commit economic terrorism on the people of Iran and the region as a whole, something which the United States have been doing for as long as my living memory serves me to be a fact. That has not get changed. And I think the real crux of the issue is that it's Israel who doesn't want the Islamic Republic of Iran to be an independent, self-sufficient nation, which is not dictated to by world trade organizations, not dictated to by world banks or central banks, not dictated to by the American imperialism, and certainly not dictated to Israeli belligerence in the Middle East. This is what is at the key, at the crux of this whole issue, and why the Americans want to force the Islamic Republic into surrendering any kind of nuclear, if you like, development. Now, it's a fact that the Islamic Republic of Iran, on a religious and moral basis, has said they don't believe in developing nuclear weapons. They've also said very clearly, and the atomic agencies have confirmed, that they are not going about building nuclear weapons-style kind of capacities. So this whole charade, which the Americans have kicked off, is really at the behest of Israeli interests in the Middle East, where they want to be the only nation with 400 plus nuclear weapons, so that they carry on their belligerent, nasty policies against all of the Arabs and the other people in the region. It's Israel who are the problem. And if America wants to be even-handed, then why is it engaging with Saudi Arabia already to proliferate nuclear weapons? Mm-hmm. I mean, Saudi Arabia is giving something like $80 billion worth of contracts out for its first nuclear reactor. There are 22 that are planned over the next four to 10 years. Right. So why is America, on the one hand, supporting the Saudis and doing business with them on nuclear proliferation, and with the Iranians, they've got a completely different attitude?
Exactly. Now, Frederick, now I got this question for you. Some of the European states have warned Iran not to leave the agreement. Now, how come they don't encourage the U.S. to return to the deal, which is believed to be the best one possible, accomplished on the back of long years of marathon and tough negotiations?
In my humble opinion, what is needed is an entirely new agreement. And if we can agree that nuclear power is unnecessary in Saudi Arabia, and yet that is in response to nuclear power being begun in the region by a competing power, that being Iran, it has been incentivized. It is utterly unnecessary. Iran can be quite a power indeed and reach for new allies and reach for an entirely clean slate, a tabula rasa on which can be written a new alliance of Iran for the peace, progress, and prosperity of their own people with new partners.
What about the answer to my question?
In the United States, the possibility to do that rather than, yes, sir?
You didn't give the answer to my question.
Manipulated
the deal is already
by
there.
The Russians in the region, and by, yes, sir?
The deal is already there, and the U.S. just unilaterally left that deal. The deal is good enough. And Iran has been in compliance. And it's a binding based on UN resolutions, you know. U.S. has turned its back to all of this, ignoring all of this.
Well,
how can Iran trust Mr. Trump, especially, to have another deal for him to get out of it, just like he did with NAFTA, with whatever else you call it?
They can far more trust Mr. Trump than they could his predecessors and others in making a deal. Quite extraordinary deal that would be really world inspiring, because Donald Trump has a history of doing this. He has a history of the art of the deal and can offer this if the Iranians will reach for it. This can
be
a
bright new day indeed. The same way he did with North Korea,
right? And if we can agree that nuclear absolutely, it's up to North Korea to do
no
the right
deal.
Thing, but they too are being manipulated by, I beg your pardon?
There is no deal with North Korea.
North Korea, if you look at North Korea at night by satellite, you will see an area completely dark, while South Korea, living in peace and prosperity, is brightly lit. Look at the satellite technology at night, and you'll see the difference between what socialism and communism has done and allies of China and Russia have done for North Korea, and what the United States and alliance has done for South Korea. That is an excellent example. I'm glad you brought
it
up.
Let me ask Mohsen
the
Abbas
same
what the
opportunity
U.S. has done
is available
for other countries.
To Tehran.
Okay.
Yes, well.
Yes.
Well, so there are so many issues to pick up on, but I think I'd like to draw the argument and the question to Donald Trump's failure to abide by peace treaties across the board is very apparent. You know, the Trans-Pacific Partnership, no negotiation, just dumped it. The climate change, the Paris Accord, just dumped it. There's a whole raft of so-called negotiations which and treaties which he's just ridden roughshod over already. The human rights, if you like, treaties, he wants to get rid of all of those as well. The truth is that we're dealing with a regime which is coming out into the open, where it's imposing its American imperialism without any shame whatsoever. They've been doing it. They've been at war for 90% of their existence. That's a Jimmy Carter quote. You know, there's only been about 24 years that the U.S. has not been at war effectively, but they're going now into this kind of economic war across the world, not only with China, with Russia, but Iran is a major, if you like, focal point. And what they're doing is really trying to disrupt the Green Belt, the actual new emerging trade routes, etc., because they're not in on the action, and Iran is definitely part of that that impediment for them. You see, the nuclear deal was, from an economic point of view, something that which is going to be beneficial, certainly for the Europeans, which is another reason why Trump and the Americans want to put their oar in, because the trade between Iran and the EU had increased 83% within 1 or 2 years of this treaty coming into being. So they've wrecked that now, and those trade figures are decreasing day by day. And so the reality is that what they want to do is economic hegemony.
It's also Europe's security. I'm not going to put that question to Frederick. You know, President Rouhani has said, Frederick, that U.S. sanctions have hampered Iran's efforts to combat terrorism. You know, Iran is doing a great share of, you know, stopping this transit of narcotics all the way from Pakistan, from Afghanistan to Europe and then to America. And then we are not receiving equipment. If we receive the equipment, we are not getting the spare parts and everything. And also influx of refugees to Europe. So is the European side really intent on keeping the deal for its own security?
Well, I will say once again that it is quite clear, talking about the United States and the history of warfare, the United States is now enjoying an utterly unprecedented period of prosperity under Donald Trump. 2 years, 3 years, in the history of the world, there has never been greater prosperity and peace than in the United States right now. The unemployment is at historic, unprecedented lows. The productivity is at historic highs. And we have a dealer at the head of the United States who is willing to extend new alliances, not to treaties that have been fatally flawed by the old staid wheeler dealers in the back room of political solutions that do absolutely nothing and then sup their tea on the Upper East Side after some United Nations collaboration. No, Donald Trump builds the buildings in which they sip their tea. Donald Trump, he represents truth in policy and truth in arrangements with other countries, and represents an opportunity for a deal where Iran can completely, on a dime, turn its fortunes around for the benefit of its people, for the benefit of its region, for the benefit of the world, stride ahead to a far brighter future, not needing the introduction of nuclear technology to the region with all of its risks, and declining to be a little host puppet state for Russia and the interests of Russia and China, and the new collaborations with North Korea also that are all being Svengali manipulated behind the scene. It's time for Iran to declare independence and to reach out to
Donald
Trump.
Iran has been independent for 40 years. That's the problem the U.S. cannot get along with. That's the problem.
Now, we're running out of time.
Let me ask Saeed Muslim Abbas one more question. Jeremy Hunt says that for as long as, I'm quoting him directly, for as long as Iran keeps its nuclear commitments, then so too will the United Kingdom. But if it doesn't, it'll face consequences. Now, what's the point in forcing Iran to abide by an agreement, the provisions of which have not been adhered to by the other side, and even one side has just left? Isn't this coercion?
I think Islamic Republic has shown huge restraint. They've been very wise in the way they've handled this whole situation. And I think that they've been very mature. And I think the nations like China and Russia and others realize this. And what we're seeing is a desperate America trying to retain its kind of false status as the world's major superpower. They're fundamentally in debt. Hundreds of trillions of dollars of debt is what America is sitting on. They basically are on a knife edge themselves. It's artificially being pumped up by China, and it's kind of it's playing along with that American debt. So the truth of the matter is that the Iranians are just part of a wider desperation act on a foreign policy stage from the Americans. I mean, and let's get to the nuts and bolts of this. The Americans are demanding not only that the Iranians disperse the whole nuclear program. They're also now saying that it's prerequisite on any agreement is prerequisite on them canceling their missile and ballistics programs. It's many other strings attached to their clauses. They don't want any deal. What's really going on is they want Iran on its knees, and they are too scared to do it militarily because they understand the consequences. So they're going for the economic jugular. No, they underestimate the Islamic Republic's resolve.
Sorry, I got to jump in. I'll give you each 30 seconds for your final thoughts. Well, Frederick, go ahead. 30 seconds, please.
Let me say something very quickly. Yep. The United States, at historic levels of prosperity and historic levels of freedom for all of its people and an historic example for the world, does not want Iran on its knees. It wants the people of Iran on their feet, reaching up for the torch of liberty and prosperity for themselves and peace for the region, and they will find a willing, ready, able, enthusiastic, and loyal cooperator in the United States for that.
No,
the United States that is setting world precedent in prosperity and freedom for all.
We're out of time, Frederick. Said Mohsen Abbas, 30 seconds, please.
Yes, sir. The United States acts on behalf of moneylenders, international moneylenders. Their job is to bring all of these nations into line. The likes of Venezuela and Iran are outside of the central banking system. The U.S. is the military armed complex, which is designed to bring Iran into line. There is no morality about what the Americans are doing. They're simply acting for usurious forces that want to subjugate one of the few nations which is truly independent and has a moral backbone to stand up against the imperialist oppression which the Americans represent.
Okay, on that note, we come to the end of this debate. Let me thank our guests. So we had Frederick Peterson, Senior U.S. Congressional Defense Advisor, who joined us out of Richmond, and Said Mohsen Abbas, journalist and political commentator out of London. And thank you for watching this debate. We'll see you soon.